Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskan. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Voskan provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, Blueberry, and now on Stitcher Radio. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Voskan, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast that looks at the very fabric of our being through one of the most ancient of all Christian traditions, namely Armenian Orthodoxy. It's polished up for 2014, as it should be. The polished look is an Orthodox look, so take it with us right now. Take a next step with us. This podcast is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission. Hey, if you're ready, I know I am. Let's take the next step. Well, welcome to the midwinter. Yeah, well, it's going to be this Sunday, the midwinter, February 2nd. Candlemas, right? 40 days after Christmas. Well, if you are counting on, if you're counting on Christmas being December 25th, of course, in the Orthodox perspective, it's a whole different game, isn't it, right? You count from January 6th, you've got a February 14th Candlemas. But February 2nd, well, here in the United States, we're going to be playing the ultimate game of games called the Super Bowl, a football game. Yes, no, we don't play it with the feet. It's not a soccer match. No, it's a football. It's a kufta-looking ball, and you throw it around, and you go from one end zone to the other zone, and billions of dollars will be exchanged. We'll pass through different hands on this occasion, yes. And it also happens to be the midwinter feast. In other words, right in the middle of winter, there's 6 weeks left for winter, and we have a predictor. It's called Punxsutawney Phil. Now, this is a tradition here in the United States. It's called Groundhog's Day, the dogs of midwinter. Okay, so Punxsutawney Phil comes out of his hole. He's a little groundhog, you know, a rodent. I don't want to call him a rat. No, not a rat. A little rodent, okay? He comes out of his hole, and if he sees his shadow, I believe it means that, well, it means that there's 6 more weeks of snow, or winter, excuse me, of winter. And if he doesn't see his shadow, it means it's 6 more weeks of, or the winter is going to be coming to an end early, right? So it's not going to be the full 6 weeks. Anyway, there's some kind of predictability, and that's beside the point, because it's all in fun that it's done. But why am I telling you this? Well, interestingly enough, you know, sometimes we hem and haw about prediction, especially in religion, when we look at some of the predicting factors out there. You know, we look at astrology and we look down our nose at astrology, like we say, oh, what's going on over here? You know, this is like, how could those stars way up in the sky determine, behavior and so on? We look at other fortune-telling machines that we have or traditions that we have. Well, guess what happened this morning? Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know if we have any listeners out there, but if you're listening, wow, what did you guys go through? We saw pictures of the snow and of the devastation on the freeways, people sliding around. There was all kinds of ice on the freeways, and basically the city was ill-prepared to deal with that those temperatures, with those below-freezing temperatures. Uh-huh. And who did they blame? Who did they blame? From the governor down to the mayor, they were talking around, and you see them on, they come on camera, and they say, we blame the weather forecast. Wow. Holy schmoly. Blaming the forecast. The forecasters. Well, what's interesting, right? We talk about weather forecasting as a science, right? It's just predictions. It's just predictions. Sometimes things happen in different ways than we predict. It happens in life. And yeah, you can blame people, you can look at them, or you can take ownership of it and you can say, okay, well, we were ill-prepared. We were not ready to deal with those set of circumstances. But it's a convenient scapegoat, you know. And so it was interesting. They blamed the forecast. This is, yeah, I'm sure if you dig it up, you'll see it. It was the governor and the mayor. They were at a press conference. Both of them. We blamed the forecast, the weather forecast. Now, you know, that's no different than what religion has done all along, right? But religion gets a bad rap, doesn't it, right? They blame extraterrestrial, supernatural forces. They say, oh, well, you know, nobody believes in that kind of stuff, okay? They keep blaming those things. Well, I'm not making a case for religion either, because I'm not a big fan of religion doing that too. But what it comes down to is people taking ownership and responsibility for the situation. Hey, you got to fess up and say, we were not prepared as a city to deal with those sub-zero temperatures. Those freezing temperatures. Same thing in life. Things go wrong. You can blame a lot of people, or you can look at yourself and say, you know what? I'm in charge. I take the rap. I take the blame. Anyway, I thought I had to start off with that. Since it is the Midwinter Feast, since Punxsutawney Phil is going to be coming out of his hole this Sunday and predicting the course of the winter for the coming few weeks, 6 weeks. Listen, speaking of winter, this morning, it was nice and cold. I took my walk, and then I joined a couple people for an intense talk about the future of ministry. Yeah, well, we had a little coffee session this morning, and I'm not going to give you the name of the players, because we're going to be putting something together, and very soon enough, you will hear about those players, but I'm excited. And, you know, it's times like that that I wish that I wanted to take you, the next step listeners, with me. Kind of like put a microphone there during the talk and have you listen in. Listen in on what's going on. Some exciting stuff as far as ministry. Think about it for a moment. Okay, you do a ministry, and where does your funding come from? It comes from donors. What happens at some point when the donors start imposing their will upon the ministry? You say that doesn't happen. Well, I don't believe it happens all the time, but it does happen in certain cases. So we were talking about that, and I want to make a special show about that. But what I wanted to say is I wish that I could have had a microphone there this morning. So sometimes, you know, I go through so many incredible conversations during the day, during the week, and there's not enough notepad room to write it on. But I love sharing it with you here on The Next Step. Hey, listen, speaking of that, thank you for all the great email I got. I loved the Las Vegas people. Oh, that was wild. Thank you very much. Yes, it was a funny few hours that we were in Las Vegas. But I really want to I want to do a little shout-out for a couple of you out in Las Vegas who wrote to me about your wishes about taking me in, and you know what I'm talking about, Steve and Sue. Thank you very much. I would love to. Next time we'll take you up on that offer. This was just kind of like an in and out, okay? We just kind of went in and out of town, and we were out of there. But it was a very interesting few hours that we spent there, and I'm glad you liked that episode. It was difficult for me to put together those thoughts, because eventually you have to take ownership of it, right? This is just what we talked about, taking responsibility. And who gets blamed for situations like that? You can point your finger at others, but ultimately you're allowing that situation to happen. So ultimately you can only point to yourself, because realizing that, you know, you're not going to change others, but you can change yourself. You can change your attitude, and you can change the way things are perceived. Anyway, Steve and Sue, thank you very much for that wonderful note that you sent me. Okay, well, today we've got a good show for you. I was very impressed this morning. I woke up, and on my tweets, I got a tweet from Holy Etchmiadzin. Well, you know, I kind of subscribe. You know, you gotta follow them to get these tweets. So I'm not surprised that I got the tweet from them, because I do subscribe. But what were they talking about Datevig? Datevig, the jazz singer. Oh, it was so good. It is a beautiful little video that they put up on Etchmiadzin's website, and I was excited about it. And in honor of that, in honor of the midwinter, let me play a little Datevig as the song of the day, and I'll be back in a couple minutes, and we'll start our show. Here's Datevig.
Eskişer, Lusnakişer, Vay le le le, le.
Eskişer Lusniak Kişer by Datevig. A little bit different than what you expected, right? Yeah, you expected a little bit of jazz, a little bit of scat. Well, she does that well, too. And I'll put a link on today's show note to her album, to her music. Do check it out. And I'll also put a show note in our show notes. I'll put a link to that YouTube video on the Etchmiadzin channel. It was very nice. It's, of course, narrated in Armenian. But just listen through. Listen to the beautiful music that comes our way. We had a very, very busy week this past week, beginning, well, since I last left you with the Dotiv Outreach Luncheon, and culminating with a few episodes where we were able to get out and do some true ministry, true talking about what the ministry is all about. Last night we had our Bible study. We've been studying the book of James, and it's been really, really an eye-opener for all of us because, well, first of all, for me, I'll confess, you know, it's been a long time since I've read the book of James. Well, I'm talking about the small letter that's in the epistles. It's a very well-written treatise, handbook of what Christianity is about. And I love the part where he says, look, here's the bottom line. Are you helping widows and orphans? I think it's at the end of the first chapter. And he says, okay, this is the bottom line. Are you helping widows and orphans? I mean, you know, it just drives it right home. You know, widows and orphans, the most vulnerable in our society, the people who have nobody advocating for them, the people who are just out there on their own. I mean, talk about an orphan. Yeah, a human orphan. A human orphan. I mean, is that the most vulnerable? Is that the most unprotected? And you look at all the other animals, you know, what is it? Maybe a few days, a few weeks, they need to be next to the mom for a little bit of care. But you're talking about a human being needs, and not only 1, 2, 3 years. You know, maybe after year 3, you can just leave him all alone and he might be able to wander around, but even then, can't. How's he going to find shelter? And you talk about in the animal kingdom, right? The little cubs. They come about, you know, and okay, they need mom. They have to look to mom for food, look for shelter, look for warmth. A child, a human child, is helpless, completely helpless. And so when St. James says, this is the bottom line for Christianity, he says, widows and orphans, are you helping them? Think about it. Orphan, completely helpless. And of course, widows are thrown into that category because back in those times, you know, it was unheard of that they would get out and they would work. It just wasn't part of the system. So they were as helpless, the widows. But the orphan, you can relate to that, right? A child just left out there. How's he going to eat? Where's his shelter? Warmth against the elements. How's he going to survive? How? There's no way. An orphan cannot survive. It needs assistance. And so, bottom line, St. James says, this is what religion, this is what Christianity is about. Are you helping people? Are you helping those who seem helpless? I just love it. Anyway, we've been studying that. Let me see if we have a little bit of time. I'll get into some of the things that we've been studying. But along that line, several years ago, 2-3 years ago, not several, 2-3 years ago, we started an organization that looked at domestic violence. And last year, we adopted a name called Dotiv Outreach. Dotiv, of course, is the name of a town. There was a famous saint, St. Gregory of Dotiv. And the word itself, you can play with it, because Dotiv in Armenian is two words. Da means to give, and Tev means wings, or hands, arms. So we played with that, Dotiv. It's a double meaning there, right? It can mean the place, it can mean the saint. It does connect with the Christian traditions. Yes, that's right. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Ken looked at, he told me the name of the artist today that we featured. Dativik. Completely coincidental. Yeah. Dativik. Yes. The diminutive of Dativ. Okay. So Dativ means to give wings. And so we adopted this name for our domestic violence program. And it was a year ago that we began operations officially. We actually got a toll-free number, 855-DOTIV-77. So people in the area can call, get assistance, get referrals, get help. Most of all, get a prayer. Get some spirit, some spirituality. Bring God into the equation. And we put together a team of women who answer those phone calls. We got together with a team of people to train those women. We organized walks so that people would know that this is a problem. Yeah, believe it or not, this is like the biggest frustration that we're having, is that there is still an unacceptance of the problem. So, hey, you know what? Even up until now, this was really funny, because about a week ago, there was a couple of us in the office working on DATEV program, and we were just talking about this. We were talking that people still ask, does this happen among the Armenians? I mean, you know, like, okay, I'm an Armenian priest, and I know we're beyond the ethnicity, right? I'm a priest of the Christian church, but I happen to be Armenian ethnically and definitely work in the Armenian community and try to bring the presence of God to the Armenians. It happens to be a very ethnically alive church where I'm serving in Glendale. And when I tell people that we're doing this program for domestic violence, and the name of it is DATEV Outreach, invariably, they will come up and say, do you help Armenians? Are there Armenians that suffer from domestic violence? Yes. I mean, like, hey, I'm an Armenian priest. Like, yes, actually, duh, you know, like, I'm an Armenian priest, and I've been working in the Armenian community, and this is where the deal is. So, we were talking in the office about this, and no sooner had we talked about it, this is a true story. We were sitting there, and this lady walks in, and she says, you know, I wanted to see you about this and that. Anyway, I took a minute and I dealt with her situation. Yeah, stop everything and you deal with them, right? And, you know, my two co-workers were with me, and I said, I'd like you to meet these fine ladies over here who are working for DATEV Outreach. And we addressed the situation of domestic violence. And the lady just looked at me. And now, mind you, we're sitting in the Western Diocesan office underneath the Armenian church with the Armenian thing. And she says, are you helping Armenians? Like, is it possible that this happens to the Armenians? Yeah. Yeah, it does. And it's a surprising wake-up call. So it was like, you know, back in 2010, I think I've shared this story a few times on The Next Step. Back in 2010, when I first started addressing the situation of domestic violence, we had a young lady who was very moved by a speech I had given. And she said, you know what, I want to go and talk to the Armenian consulate about this, because the Armenian consulate needs to hear what's going on, and they might be able to allocate some resources. And I said, okay, good. She came back to me the following day, and I'll never forget it. It was September 30th of that year. She came to me and she said, the Armenian consulate said that this is not a priority. Domestic violence is not a priority in the Armenian community. I said, okay, no problem. The next day, the next morning, we woke up to the news of Zarwi Petrosyan. Zarwi Petrosyan was a lady, a wife, who was beaten to death by her husband and mother-in-law. In a type of beating that is not unfamiliar in that part of the world to women. You're telling me it's not a priority? And I think about Christ's message. Which person having 100 sheep and he loses one does not leave the 99 and go after the one? And yet, this is happening to the tune of 99. Even that one is too much. Even that one is too much. We have to be at a zero tolerance for violence, a zero tolerance for domestic violence. It's really amazing to hear some of these stories, to hear some of these incidents. It's mind-boggling when you hear about some of the happenings within the community. You say, is this what it's come down to? I mean, I started off my speech last Saturday. Now, last Saturday, excuse me, we celebrated the first anniversary of Dativ Outreach. And rather than giving a mundane speech, rather than, you know, just filling it up with statistics, we had a little fun. And actually, two people, one of them is familiar to you, listeners, was Linda. The other one was Ani, who works in the Dativ Outreach organization. And myself, we had a trialogue. But it wasn't known to the people, so I got up and I started saying, giving out a few statistics. And as I was talking, Linda came up, sort of suspiciously, and she picked up a microphone and said, "Wait a minute, Father Boskin. You mean that there is domestic violence among Armenians? It happens to other people, but it does not happen to Armenians, does it?" And Ani, on the other side, she was there, and she picked up another microphone as I was talking. And she goes, "Well, maybe it happens among Armenians, but it certainly doesn't happen among the Barskahais, which are the Iranian Armenians, because these are stereotypes that are within the community, that first of all, Armenians, you know, everybody's okay, and we don't talk about these things. Stereotype that Barskahai, that their men from Iran are very mild and relaxed men, and they wouldn't take out their aggressions on the women. And in fact, there's even like little stereotypes that, you know, these make the best husbands when you're looking out there." So to break some of those stereotypes, we got up and really kind of tried to make people uncomfortable by addressing them, by talking about them. Like, yes, there is domestic violence among the Armenian community, and until we recognize it, nothing's going to happen until we accept that there is this problem. And I shared with them the story of a young lady. I met her right around Thanksgiving time, and she basically had been beaten for 20 years, a punching bag for her husband. And she came to America just about a year ago with her husband, and this was her chance really to get out of it. And one night when her husband was beating her, all black and blue, bloody, she leaves the house. Yeah, you can do that in America. You'd be surprised. You can't do that everywhere. So she leaves the house and she goes through the streets of Glendale. Black and blue, face bloody, lip puffed up, punched in the eye. And she starts knocking on her neighbor's doors. The doors of neighbors. "I need some help. Can I use your phone?" And scared to death that the husband's going to come looking for her. She goes door to door. And she described to me this 10 minutes of terror. 10 minutes it took her before she could get somebody to open a door for her. Who were these people that were leaving her out? They were Armenians. They were people that said, "No, sorry. That's your problem, not my problem." One man even said, "You know, Armenians have dignity. You're an Armenian woman. Go back to your home and fix it. Go back to your home and take whatever's coming to you." 10 minutes, she describes this ordeal of terror going through the streets of Glendale, looking for something that we take for granted, don't we? Not only do we have phones, our children have phones. They're all over. She can't find one. And finally, she says, some African-American woman finally opened the door. And I mention that because, hey, all those Armenians in Glendale, not one person opened the door. This African-American woman opened the door and let her in, gave her access to the phone. Police came, intervened. Dativ Outreach got involved. And the story goes on. It continues. Now, I shared this with the group, and I shared a lot of other ideas, among which was a different idea. And that's where I want to focus in on today, because I also shared with them that as a church, as a community, when we're talking about these things, we have to be willing to accept realities, and we also have to be willing to accept change. Change in us, change in our positioning, change in our perspective. And I used two examples, both dealing with sexuality. One was homosexuality, which up until now has been a taboo subject in the church. And you're going to still say, yeah, it still is. But that's the point of what I'm bringing up. But listen to what happened. I got up and I shared two stories. Now, this is a room of about 120, 130 people coming to commemorate, to celebrate the first year of Dativ Outreach. There is also the Archbishop of the diocese, my immediate superior. He's sitting there. And I got up and I said that we as a church are evolving. And we are changing. Our attitudes are changing, as they must. And I used myself as a personal example. You know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, the issue of homosexuality was something that we'd put under the rug. It wasn't a big deal to us, non-homosexuals, heterosexuals. And I remember when one young man came up to me and he said, Father Voskin, I want to talk to you. I want to come out. And my first reaction to him was what I think many people thought at the time. You know, like, why? You know, why do I need to know whether you're gay or not? What's it to me? I mean, why do I care who you're with? Who your partner is? You know, just go on with your business. Go on with life. And so I asked him straight out. I said, now, why is it necessary for me to know? Why? He gave me a very interesting answer. He said, do you know what it's like to be an Armenian man with mother, aunts, who are always addressing the issue of your bachelorhood? He says, do you know what it's like? Every time my mom's saying, how about this girl, this girl? My aunts, my mokurs and my hokurs, they come up to me and they say, how about this girl? You know what? I found a really nice girl. They even go and talk to them. He says, I'm not interested. I'm just not interested. And I need to tell them that so that they will respect me and I could go on with my life. Very interesting. Now, in that one little answer, he gave me an answer to my question, but gave me a lot more too, right? Made me realize that, first of all, nobody wants to be in these situations unless you are in the situation, right? In other words, nobody says in the morning, hey, I think I'll be gay. I think I'll just be a homosexual, you know, because I enjoy the discomfort. I enjoy what's going to happen to me, the humiliation. Nobody says that. No, you are gay because you are. Because this is your makeup. That was one story. The other story was a young lady who definitely felt out of place in her body. And she said that, you know what, ever since I was a kid, I knew I was in the wrong body. And I know you've heard these stories. There's many of these stories which we've heard over and over. You know, for some reason, they're just in the wrong body. They feel sexually of a different orientation. They know that they're a man. They know that they're a woman. And yet they're in a different body. Now, all of these things on the outside may appear to be a little bit out there. In fact, I talked about homosexuality, I would say about a year ago, in these terms too. And I remember a couple of our listeners too just blasted me with emails, and they've told me, you know, they'll never listen to the Armenian Orthodox broadcast that I do. Well, yeah, okay, you know, that's life. You know, there's going to be people who are going to disagree. But evolving means that, first of all, you recognize that you're alive. If you don't evolve, you're dead. And a dead entity decays. There's a difference between decaying and evolving. Now, how do you put that into perspective? Well, I think, you know who did a beautiful job of it? Pope Francis. People are still talking about it. last year when I spoke about it, it was interesting because I used the parable or the story that comes to us from the Gospels of Peter and John walking after the resurrection. And Peter is walking with Jesus on the beach, and behind them they see John, the beloved disciple. And Peter turns to Jesus and says, "Lord, what will happen to him?" Pointing to the man behind him. He says, "Lord, what's going to happen to him?" And Jesus says, "If I decide that he's going to stay until I come, what's it to you? Follow me." What's it to you? Your responsibility is to follow Christ. You get me? Pope Francis did a beautiful job. He says, "Who am I to judge?" In other words, he put himself in the place of Peter. And now Jesus is talking to him and saying, "What's it to you? Follow me." And the Pope is saying exactly that. What's it to me? Who am I to judge? My job is to follow Christ. And you know what? This is basically what we come down to. We're so consumed with what will happen to other people. What about other people's lives? You know, there's reasons why people feel the way they do. And it's not up to me to judge that person. My position as a Christian is to become part of the family of Christ. And in the family of Christ, we are all one. And I firmly believe, as St. Paul wrote in the book of Galatians, "There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither male nor female." I know that he would have written, "There's neither gay nor straight, for we are all one in Christ Jesus." In other words, those outer things do not matter. What does matter, are you following Christ? And Christ is all inclusive. I know, this is a big one. I know, people get upset about this. People are consumed. What will happen to the other guy? What will happen to the other guy that's out there? I know. It's not a fun one. It's not an easy one. But this is what took place. At Dative Outreach, I did share this little story too. As far as, I used it as a means of talking about our position as a church, as people, in the evolution of society, in the evolution of life. So I did share that with the people. Now, what I wanted to share, now I'm getting to my next step, listeners, what I wanted to share with you. Afterwards, this is a couple of days later, I heard a comment by one of the ladies who said, "You know, that was really refreshing. Father Voskan really spoke beautifully about the inclusion of all people, sexual persuasions, sexual preferences, inclusive." She said, "It's too bad that the church is not there." I thought to myself, you know, that's kind of rude, isn't it? What do you mean the church isn't there? Who am I? And this is the question that I leave you with today. Is all this work that we're doing, what we're talking about, Armadoxy, do you find that it is outside of the church? I certainly don't. I consider myself, and I go to great lengths to express it every time we meet, I am a priest of the Armenian Church. I am ordained according to the rites of the Armenian Church. And so when I do something, I represent the Armenian Church. Yeah, maybe a small little portion, but I'm convinced that what I just expressed to you would find favor with the big ones. Whether it's St. Paul from the Apostolic times, whether it's St. Gregory the Illuminator, St. Nerses Shnorhali, St. Naregatsi, St. Datevatsi, I know because I study the scriptures, I study the church fathers, I pray the church fathers. And you know what? They're not exclusive. They're always inclusive. They're talking about a God that is compassionate. They're talking about a God who looks and says, "What's it to you? Follow me." And so, as much as the message is there today on this midwinter, I'm also asking you, what does it take for us to believe that what we're doing over here, Three Apostle, is really apostolic evangelism? What does it take for us to say, okay, the changes that we're making are really the changes that are necessary for the church, and we are the church? I've shared this with you many times. And you know, what we're doing over here is really the next step of where the church should be going. And the only way it can go there is for us to take that next step. It's one of the beautiful things that we have. I thank God every day. We're not asking anybody to accept us or not accept us. What we're asking is for people to listen, to have an open mind. And listen. I guess, yes, you looked over. Yes, absolutely. Beyond the open mind, have an open heart. And if you have an open heart, I'm challenging you. Everything I said today, challenge yourself. Can any of this be wrong? No, because the openness of Christ, the love of Christ, is greater than all of this. All of the rules and regulations that we've put on. So now really the challenge is for us to look at ourselves and see ourselves, well, walking with Christ, in the form of that Peter. And Christ looking at us and saying, "What's it to you?" Well, let's get off of that. Let's not worry about what other people are doing. Let's start getting our act together. And certainly there's enough act to get together. Okay, anyway, I went on a little bit longer than I had wanted. I wanted to get into some of the St. James material that we're getting into, but I hope this was beneficial for you. As soon as you make her announcement, I'll be back in a couple minutes, okay?
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now growing daily with new listeners around the globe. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that reminder. A reminder she gives us every week about the importance of participating, the importance of making Epostle part of your giving program, a ministry that is so vital these days. You know, we talk about the church, and I don't know, I've got to be honest with you, we've been really struggling with a lot of ideas, a lot of advancement in the church, and it's very easy for us to criticize, to be critical of the church. And this is not just about the Armenian church, this is about all mainline traditional churches. It's very easy to be critical. It's more difficult, and beyond the difficulty, of course, is the challenge, really, to express our love for that church. How? Well, by making it real. Making that church real. Think about the things that you love. Abstractions are just fairy tales, right? But when they're alive, when they're real, you engage, and in that engagement, that's where you have an opportunity to express your love. Well, the same thing comes down to the church. And that's what we're doing through Epostle.net, and that's what exactly Apostle is. Armadoxy is really, it's that engagement. It's that opportunity to make it real, relevant. And we're inviting you to be a part of that. Hey, drop us a line. As Susie says, you know, there's a lot of ways to contribute. One of the greatest ways that you can is keep us always in your prayer life. And do pass along the link to your friends. Like us on Facebook. All kinds of ways. ¶¶ that wraps it up for today. We are hitting the Midwinter Feast, February 2nd, coming up this Sunday. It's also Super Bowl. Do check out our Armenian Christianity Today video. That'll be up on our website immediately following today's show. Check it out because there's a really special message, especially for this Sunday. I know you're going to enjoy it. Love to hear from you. Drop us a line at feedback@epostle.net. Hey, thank you for joining us, for the wonderful crew who put today's show together. For Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step. And you peer into those hallowed institutions, and they bark at you from every side, but the pipe goes white. I see them running with their tails in gold and guns in the midwinter. Oh, the prophets and the wise men and the hard politicos are all dogs in the midwinter. Let the breath from the mountain still the pain. The water from the fountain runs sweeter than the rain. Dogs in the midwinter. Dogs in the midwinter. The postman and the taxman. The herd can feel their eyes and hear them howl like dogs in the midwinter. Oh, the fox and the rabbit are at peace. Old dog is in the manger, turn last suppers into feasts. Dogs in the midwinter. And they bark at you from every side, but the pipe goes white. We're all running on a tightrope, wearing slippers in the snow. We're all dogs in the midwinter. Oh, the ice is ever thinner. Be careful how you go, like dogs in the midwinter. And it's hard to find true equilibrium when you're looking at each other down the muzzle of a gun.
Enjoyed and been blessed by this edition of The Next Step with Father Voskin. We invite you to join us every week for our regular broadcast. This, as well as all other episodes of The Next Step, are available for streaming and download at epostle.net. In addition, you can stream, download, or subscribe at Apple's iTunes Store, Blueberry, and Stitcher Radio, or try our smartphone app. New episodes are available globally every Thursday. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. We invite you to point your web browser to epostle.net, where you can enter your email address to have the next step delivered directly to your inbox. For the production crew and all the members of In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your podcast out.